I can't tell you how glad that you're here today because I've got so much good stuff. Did y'all notice the couple extra choir members there in the choir this morning? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Everybody say it's growing.
It's growing.
Say we want more folks up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want more up there because we want more voices glorifying God. Amen. We're not after, you know, big crowds. We're not trying to get that. We just want more folks to glorify the Lord. But I'm so glad you're here today because, listen, I want to talk about your assignment, what God has assigned you to. And this is something that I feel like is so important for the body of Christ and for us as believers to recognize that you weren't just created to get up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed, get up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed, get up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed. That's that you are created for more than that. You were created to do God's and have God's plans and purposes working in your life. This week I asked the Lord, Paul, because in Acts 20:24, Paul made this statement. He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. And I said, Lord, this is such a paradox because, you know, today is, if I'm not mistaken, I believe today is the National Right to Life Day where we are standing in our nation to stop abortion. Amen? Stop it. And so we value life. Life is precious to us. But Paul, you got here saying, he said, I count not my life dear unto myself. And so I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, this is such a paradox. How do you love and value and appreciate life on one hand, and then on the other hand, you say, I don't count it dear unto myself? Or like he said in Philippians, he said, I count all things lost so that I can know the Lord. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, if you'll notice there in that word, Ron, I didn't say he didn't cherish life or didn't value life. He said, I don't value my life dear unto myself. He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. Why is that? Why would you not count your life dear unto yourself? Well, when you recognize the plan that God has for you, you know, when you recognize that God has a plan that was in you from your mother's womb, that was created in you when you were born, that God knew you in your mother's womb and had a plan for you. And you know, you will never be fulfilled or content until you are finding that destiny that God has for you. That's when you can say, I don't count my life dear unto myself. I only count my life dear when I am flowing and moving with the bent that God has for me. When I am moving toward the bent that God has for me. You know, and I want to encourage you today. You can do it. You can fulfill your assignment with God. It's not that hard. Somehow or another, we've got it to where people are thinking that if they follow God, you know, it's like the little munchkins on the Wicked Witch and the Wicked Witch from the West. Do you remember that story? Not the munchkins. What was it? The little monkeys were following the witch. You remember the little monkeys following the witch? And they were going, oh, off to church I go. See, that's sometimes the mentality we've got when it comes to following God. And we need to recognize that, listen, God is in your life. If you are an engineer, God is in your life. If you were created with a bent in your life toward being an engineer, if you were created in your life toward being a fireman or a police officer, if you have the bent in your life that you love being a receptionist in an office, or if you have the bent in your life that you just love being a mom and you want to stay home and be a mom, or if you have a bent in your life that you want to be in the ministry, you want to follow God with that particular gift and calling, listen, that is the assignment that God has for you. We don't have to complicate that. We don't have to complicate the assignment that God has for us. We can do it. You can fulfill the assignment that God gave you. All you have to do is to identify what particular bent you have in your life. What is it that's in your life that brings you rest, that brings you enjoyment, that brings you fulfillment, and more than likely, more times than not, that's the assignment that God has for you. And you can do that. You know, I think mistakenly we make the mistake of telling our children, well, you know, you can just be anything you want to be. Well, not necessarily. You know, when people follow that direction in life, sometimes they try to become things that they aren't supposed to be. You need to follow what God puts in your heart. You need to follow what God drops in your heart. You need to follow the assignment that God has for you. When Paul made that statement, he said, I count not my life dear unto myself. He was making a statement. He said, the things that are about to come, you know, they don't move me. They don't move me away from this destiny that God has for me. When you begin to see the destiny that God has for you, you know, the circumstances of life, the arguments that kinfolk get into, the trials of financial struggles, relationship troubles, maybe you've got health issues, those will never stop you from doing what God's assigned you to do. Amen. If you'll recognize that assignment and that destiny is from God, I'm telling you, like Paul came up against every sort of obstacle that you could imagine. He was shipwrecked. He was naked. He was without food. He was without provision. And he said, God, he said, if there's some way, take this away from me. And the Lord told him, he said, no, Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll be able to get through those circumstances. You may feel that pressure in here today. You know, you may be having financial problems. You may be having relationship problems. You know, I don't know everything that's going on in everybody's life. You may be having problems at work. You may be having problems with one of your children's teachers. You may be having problems with your children at school. But you know what? There is nothing too big for our God. There's nothing too big that God can't get you through, that God can't give you the wisdom to get you through. There's nothing that God will not do for you to help get you through whatever situation you're going through. I'm telling you, you may be facing some tough deals in your life, but you know what? That doesn't mean you're a failure. Just because you have problems, that doesn't mean you're a failure. I mean, if that was true, then Paul and Jesus both would have been failures, but they were the most successful people on the face of the earth. You can have odd circumstances and things come against you and trials come against you that you think you can never overcome. But I'm telling you, greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. You can overcome. You can overcome any obstacle in your life. You can overcome anything that's coming against whatever your assignment is from God. When you recognize that assignment and you think, God, you know, I can't fulfill this assignment. I've been married 7 times or 5 times. Or listen, the woman at the well had been married 5 times and Jesus made a preacher out of her. Amen. Amen. Don't let anything hinder you or keep you from following or finding God's assignment for you. And moving with that assignment, I mean, there may be one circumstance after another circumstance after another circumstance, but be bold enough to say, there is nothing that will keep me from doing the plan and the purpose that God has for me. I may have created a lot of those mistakes, but God, there's still nothing that will keep you from fulfilling your plan and your desire in my life. When David faced Goliath, golly, think about that. Think about that. Here's David's brothers at the front of the battle. His brothers were there at the front of the battle, and his dad said to him, Jesse told David, he said, David, load up the cart, get the donkey, have the donkey pull the cart, get the cart loaded up, take some cheese and food to your brothers there in the battle. Who would have ever thought that carrying food to your brothers in the army would cause you to end up becoming the king of Israel? That is exactly what God is endeavoring to do with every one of us. He was faithful. David was faithful over something small, and God took that and used that to make him something great. Listen, David did not see Goliath as a problem. He saw Goliath as potential. Say amen, somebody. Amen. David didn't see Goliath as a problem. He saw Goliath as potential. Let me encourage you, the next time you're facing a problem in your life, the next time you're facing adversity in your life, don't see it as a problem. See it as potential in your life. See it as God taking something adverse coming towards you and turning it into something beautiful that only God can do. Amen. See it as something great coming into your life to move you from arena that you are into the exalted arena that God wants you to be in. Peter told us this. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God is not endeavoring to humble us. He wants us to humble ourselves and say, Father, I may be facing this adversity. I may be facing these circumstances that are contrary to what I believe you placed in my heart. But I believe that greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And I can fulfill and do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is the attitude. When we have those attitudes about problems in our lives, listen, I want you to know something. I don't care how severe the issue is, just like the word that Don gave. You may be coming in here thinking I have done something so horrible that God can never forgive me. But I've got good news for you. God is bigger than your problem. The way Joyce Meyer said it, she said, God is bigger than your biggest mistake. Amen. Amen. And when we recognize that, I see them fanning. Ushers, I see the people fanning. I see them all fanning. So let's open up the back doors and turn on the air conditioner. Amen. For just a second. I've got them all hot and bothered, worked up here. Golly. Hallelujah. Turn it on for just a minute because, I mean, it comes in like a nor'easter. Amen. You know, the thing about it is, listen to me, sometimes we have to have a breakout before we can have a breakthrough. Amen. We need a breakout. Listen, we need to break out of our hindering belief systems that are hindering us from what God wants us to do and what he's called us to do. There is nothing impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And let me tell you something, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are with God. Praise. Amen. Amen. We need to break out of those belief systems. We need to break out of our ways of looking at things. We need to break out and think, God, how could I have let this particular sin hold me captive for 50 years when your grace and your blood was sufficient 50 years ago to get me through it and to get me over it? God's grace and his blood is here for us so that we can accomplish all that he's called us to do. Sometimes we need to stand up on the inside before we can stand up on the outside. You remember the little boy that the teacher took and drew a circle on the chalkboard? Did y'all ever see that happen in school? I saw that happen in school one time, and you know what? The teacher drew a circle on the chalkboard and told that little boy to stick his nose into it, and he's up there, had his nose stuck in that chalkboard, and then all of a sudden he looked back and he went clump. That sucker just done plumb passed out. He passed out. But you know what? He didn't have this going on for him. That other little boy had his nose stuck in the circle on the chalkboard. And he said, I may be standing up on that. He said, she may have me my nose on that on the outside, but on the inside, I'm sitting down in my chair. Amen. Sometimes we've got to get things straightened out on the inside before we'll ever get them straightened out on the outside. Amen. We're wanting God to come and wave a magic wand, but we're not looking at the fact that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. We're not looking at the fact that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ causing us to overcome the adversaries that face us in life. I'm telling you, listen, the reason Paul could say, I count not my life dear unto myself is because he saw something bigger than himself. He saw something greater than himself. He saw a new day before God. He saw a day when all of his past of holding Stephen's coat when they murdered Stephen, of persecuting Christians, he saw all of that behind him. All he could see in front of him was the glory of God. And I'm telling you, that's all that's in front of you today is the glory of God. That's all that's in front of us is the glory of God. Nothing that happened yesterday, nothing that happened 5 days ago, nothing that happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago can stop what God wants to do in your life today. Amen. Why am I saying that? Because the blood of Jesus, the grace of God, is available for you to fulfill your assignment in him. But we've got to stand up on the inside. We've got to have a breakout. We got to have a breakout on the inside before we can have a breakthrough. Sometimes we're trying to get a breakthrough. We want a breakthrough to come through. We want a breakthrough to come through. We want it to come. But listen, God's trying to get us to break out. You remember the story of Paul and Silas? They were right in the middle of doing God's will. They were right in the middle of preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead. They were doing the miracles of God and preaching, and then they found themselves in the bottom pit of a prison. And what did they do? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Y'all are weak. I'm telling you, you're weak. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, no. They didn't do that. They didn't get into that lower prison and get into the mully grubs about their lives. They got into that prison, and is even with stripes on their back, the Bible says they begin to pray and praise God. I'm telling you, why? How could they praise God when they were in stocks in prison? Listen, a lot of people don't understand this. They were in the lower part of the prison where the sewer ran out on the floor. It didn't go through any pipes. They were in the lower part of the prison where they had stripes on their back, and they didn't get down in the mully grubs. They didn't get down in the dumps and have a blue day. No. They started praying and praising God. You know what? They did it so loud, the prisoners heard them. They did it so loud, they were so thankful to God, even when they were locked into stocks. Some of you may feel like you've been locked into stocks and chained up in prison. But let me tell you something, you can get out of prison before you get out. You can get out before you get out. You can have a break out before you have a breakthrough. You can get out of prison. You can get out of that prison on the inside. How did they do it? They prayed and they praised God. They had a relationship with God and they were thankful. Everybody say thankful. They praise God even when things look tough in their life. You know, when you think about it, your assignment will never be a demotion. It's always a promotion. God is always trying to promote you. He wants to promote you to a higher level of life, to a higher level of security, to a higher level of peace, to a higher level of prosperity, to a higher level of joy, to a higher level of wisdom. He's always wanting to raise you up and lift you up in life. Why? Because you are an example of His glory on this earth. Say amen, somebody. Amen. You're an example of His light. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Don't see your problems as demotion. I tell you, you can face problems, and in life we all face problems. I guarantee you, as many times as we could think of people in this room, we could think of problems that they face. But our problems are not a demotion. They're a promotion. God is trying to use every circumstance in our life to bring promotion to us. You know, if you have problems in life, how many of you in here have ever had big problems? You ever had a big problem? Yes. Anybody ever had a big problem?
Yes.
I said, did you have a big problem?
Yes.
That you just didn't know how to get around?
Yes.
You know what? The size of your problem could indicate the size of your assignment. The size of your problem could indicate the size of your assignment. When David faced Goliath, God wanted him to become king of Israel. And the size of his problem was a whole lot bigger than him. So that lets me know something. Your size and stature in life, you know, what you are and who you are in life is no comparison to who you are in God. One of the reasons David was able to overcome Goliath is he knew he was a covenant man. He knew that he had a covenant with God. He knew that God was on his side. When he came up to Goliath, he said, "Who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine? You don't have a covenant with God, but I do, and today the birds of the air are going to eat your carcass." Hallelujah. He spoke to that mountain. He spoke to it. Instead of crying to God about it, he stood up and he spoke to that mountain. I'm telling you, some of you in this room today need to speak to your mountain instead of whining to God about it. Shout to the mountain. Speak to that mountain. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? How dare you to come against the armies of the living God? Here David's three brothers are kept in the mountain, and their names, I just encourage you to do a study on the names of David's three brothers. Awesome names. Eliab. You do the Hebrew study of Eliab. Eliab means the son of God. Think about Shama. God is here with us. That was one of his other brothers' names.
Ooh, yes.
But you know what? They were cowered away, hiding when Goliath came out.
That's right.
They may have had more knowledge in regard to intellectually, but David knew something in his heart about his God. He knew something in his heart about the covenant of God. He knew something while he was on the backside of the desert keeping the flocks. He said, there was a lion that came out and I grabbed it by its beard and I killed it. He said, there was a bear that came out and I killed the bear. And he said, if God got the bear and the lion off my back, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is? He doesn't know his covenant with God. And I'm telling you, to overcome the adversaries, the adversities that are coming against you in your covenant, know who you are in Christ. Know the victory that's yours in him. Know that greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Amen. Let me tell you something. We can do it. We can fulfill our assignments, folks. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. We've got a great covenant keeping God. And thank God the covenant was cut between God and the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, so you and I could not mess it up. Amen. I heard somebody say, thank God. Amen. Aren't you glad we can't mess it up? Amen? You have to look at the adversaries and the things that come against you, everything that comes against you. I don't care whether it's an eating problem. I don't care if it's a weight problem. I don't care if it's a relationship problem. I don't care if it's a financial problem. I don't care if it's a problem that you can't get a job. Listen, we have to look at every problem as subject to change. Yeah. Every problem that we face is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4, I believe it's the 18th verse, says, while we look at the things that are not seen. We're not looking at this seen realm. Folks, if we spend our lives looking into the seen realm, if we spend our lives looking at Goliath instead of looking at God, we'll never be able to do what David did. But once we get our eyes off of Goliath, he may be standing right in front of you as not being able to get a job. He may be standing right in front of you as something that's keeping you from being healed physically. He may be standing right in front of you as something that's destroying your relationships. He may be something that's standing right in front of your life. But let me tell you something. Don't look at Goliath. Look at God. Amen. Look at who God is and what God has done and what he's going to do for you. He's done what he's going to do in your life. It's nothing. Listen, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Neither things present, nor things to come, nor something that happened in the past. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And the word says in that same chapter that if he gave you Jesus, will he not with him also freely give you all things? I'll tell you, God is on your side. God is for you. He's not looking for a way to trap you up. He's not looking at a way to make this hard. He's not looking at a way to cause this to be an arduous, hard walk. He's looking at us to say, Lord, what is my assignment? What is it you want me to do? What have you created me for in my life? And when I find that direction and that purpose, Lord, I will set my face like flint to it. I will not back down no matter what problems face me. I will not back down no matter what circumstances come against me. I tell you, you can have circumstances that come against you in your life. You can have situations and problems that come against you in your life that you think you can never make it. But listen, all you have to do is put one foot in front of the other. Walk, as the scripture says in Colossians 2:6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. I tell you, when you look at David and Goliath, you have got such an awesome testimony of someone that was just minding their own business in God. You may be minding your own business in God, and you may walk up on a Goliath, but I'm telling you what, you take what you've got in your hand. That's one thing David did. He took what he had in his hand. Some big mighty man came, the king, King Saul, came and tried to put his armor on David. But you know what David did? He said, I can't use this. I haven't proven this armor. I haven't proven what somebody else gave me. I'm going to prove what God gave me. When you're facing a Goliath in your life, let me tell you something. Take what you've got in your hand. Take what you've got in your hand. David took what he had in his hand, his sling, which he was used to using, and he took five smooth stones out of a stream, and he slung one of them, and he slung it, and he slung it, and you know what? I'm convinced when that stone came out of that sling, there was an angel got his hand behind that rock and went, whoo! And it popped that giant right in the forehead. Let me tell you something. When you let your rocks go, when you let your rocks go towards your giant, there's going to be an angel that'll pick that rock up and slam it into that giant for you. And that giant's going to fall down. And you know the problem David did? He didn't have a sword. He was going to kill that giant. It knocked that giant down. He didn't have a sword. But you know what he did? He took what was off the giant and cut his neck off, cut his head off with it. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't think that God doesn't have it prepared before you get there. All he's waiting for you to do is get the rock out of your sling. Begin to stand and say, who do you think you are, you adversaries? I stand against you in the name of the Lord. When Zerubbabel faced that mountain, when Zerubbabel didn't know what to do, he looked at the mountain and he said, mountain, who do you think you are? Problem, lack of a job, who do you think you are? Lack in my life, who do you think you are? You back problem, who do you think you are? You nerve problem, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, you problem in relationships? Who do you think you are to stand against God's people? I tell you, when we get that attitude about our assignment, our victory will be right in front of us. Because let me tell you something. God has done it. He's given us the victory in Christ Jesus. He's waiting for us, even if we're in stocks and bonds, to offer up praise and thanksgiving and thank Him and take that rock out of our pouch, take that sling out of our pouch, get that rock and sling it and pop that giant in the head with it. I'll tell you, when problems come, I know this, when problems come, we first have a tendency to focus on the problem. God wants our focus off the problem. See, David's brothers, even though they had beautiful names in God, they focused on the giant. David focused on God. I want to encourage you, get your eyes off your problem. God will give you wisdom what to do about the problem. Because why? He, more than anybody else, wants you to fulfill your assignment. He wants you to see there's something bigger in life for you. There's something bigger that He's got for you. There's a plan that He created for you while you were yet in your mother's womb. I tell you what, I am so thankful. Listen, that we can know our covenant with God. Amen. David knew his covenant with God. He looked to his past victories that he would know that God would not let him down in this one. There's not any of us in here that hadn't had something that God's done for us. Your assignment doesn't depend on your size or your stature, but it depends upon God. Amen. Amen. And listen, your assignment will already, you can take what you already have in your hand to fulfill your assignment. Don't complicate this. Don't let the devil complicate you about finding your assignment and fulfilling it in God. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you would bow your heads with me, please. Thank you, Lord. We see it as possible. We see you as being a possible God. We see you as making the way for us when there doesn't seem to be a way. God, you always provide a way of escape. Lord, we thank you that Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the key, keeping faith in God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. If you're here today and you have never acknowledged or received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, that is the key. That is the key to getting and being fulfilled in regard to your assignment. That is the key. If you've never acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. We want you to know that God loves you, that He cares for you. We always want to give you an opportunity to know the Lord Jesus in your life. You know, people can do a lot of things in their own strength. And when you think about the armies of Israel that were against Goliath and were afraid of him, you can think about that as people doing stuff in their own strength. But here David came, a ruddy fellow, the scripture says. He wasn't that large in stature, But yet he put his confidence in God. And today, I want you to put your confidence in the fact that you do not have to fight this battle, but it's God that's going to fight for you and through you. When the moment you think you have to fight this battle, you're fighting this battle in your own strength. Let it go. Let your strength go and decree, I have a covenant with Almighty God. The way you have that covenant with God, the way you experience that covenant with God, is that you are a joint heir with Christ Jesus.